Mark your calendars. My Fix It Up Life is the place to be for home improvement celebrities. If you want to know what's hot from their point of view, don't miss these upcoming My Fix It Up Life shows. Tune in November 21st when we'll be talking kitchens with Spice Up My Kitchen star Jeff Devlin. On December 12th, we're talking tools and women with celebrity designer Nicole Sassman, who's not afraid of demo work and is often found on the job site in stilettos and Gucci tool belt. Color Splash and HGTV design star David Bromstad will be our special guest on January 23rd. And coming soon to My Fix It Up Life, Christopher Lowell from Fine Living Network's Work That Room and Paige Hemmes from ABC's Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Check out podcasts of My Fix It Up Life on iTunes and become a fan of the show on Facebook to find out what's hot in home improvement during the week. And don't forget to enter to win cool gear and tools we're giving away every Saturday during My Fix It Up Life. My Fix It Up Life is what's next in home improvement entertainment. We have a special guest on the line at My Fix It Up Live. It's Kevin O'Connor. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
And where are you calling us from today?
Honestly, I am in the car.
Ooh.
On a farm.
Oh.
You're in a car on a farm? Are you reaping or harvesting?
I am here to pick up a weekly share from our local co-op here with my wife and my three kids who have just snuck out the side doors of the minivan and are getting to it while I'm out here talking to you guys.
Oh, wow.
Minivan? This is the show where you do stuff every man should know, so we expected you to be calling us from, like, a 2500 GMC crew cab.
I had to drop the GMC Yukon off at the dealer this morning and have some service done on it, regular service, because I'm going out of town, so that's the ideal time for me to be without a car, so that's why I'm driving the grocery getter here, my wife's car.
Grocery getter, I love it. Now, three kids, you've got,
correct.
How old are they?
Luke is 4.5, and Caitlin and Liam are 7-month-old twins.
Ooh.
Rock on, congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, that's good. So you're...
You guys have twins?
No, we don't. We have a year-old boy.
Yeah, who acts like twins.
Yeah, he's enough work for triplets, really, because he doesn't sleep at all. And then an eight-year-old.
Yeah, the year-old boy is when I was thinking about Mark and I were talking about having new kids running around the house a few months ago.
Yeah, he's a handful. So, yeah. So,
Mark, I understand Mark's a handful, but how's the one-year-old?
See where this is going. This is getting
really
ugly.
I have three kids.
All right, Kevin.
The tallest one is the most difficult, really. I mean, the messes he creates, it's just awful, really.
I was wearing gloves when I got in here. They're now off on the table.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't even have a floor in our kitchen anymore because of him. So.
Oh yeah, we're demoing this our old house. But the questions are actually not about our lives, but about your life and what's going on right now on this old house. Where are you guys, and what are you shooting? I guess this week.
We are we're right in the middle of 30th season for House, this old house.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. It's a congratulations that mostly goes to my brothers, Norm, Tom, Richard, and Roger, most of who have been there from the very first episode. So that's a big event for all of us, and especially for those guys. And that makes it, if it's the 30th for House, that makes it the 8th season for Ask. Mm-hmm. And the projects that we're working on, this week we're filming in two locations, Newton, Massachusetts, working on a 350-square-foot addition to a 1915 Dutch colonial.
Wow.
For a family of four. And the storyline there is they've been there for about 10 years. They love the house. They love the neighborhood. They love the school system, right? We all have heard that story.
Sure.
They needed a little bit more room. They've been working out of a sort of a non-functioning kitchen that's way too small and about 70 years old.
We don't know anything about that, Kevin.
I suspect you wouldn't at all. But they're also... they're both writers. She's a professor at a local university. He is an editor for a literary magazine, so they both work out of the house quite a bit. Mm. So in addition to updating the kitchen and adding a little extra room for the family room, they're getting a second home office so that husband and wife don't have to cohabitate and work in the same place. How's that sound?
Kevin, we don't know anything about that either. Teresa actually has to go out of the studio and lie down.
That sounds so good. I wish we had that.
We have parallel universe with those people. So when you give us their phone number later... and the 350 square foot addition?
Yeah, 350 square foot addition. So we just, there was an existing sun porch off the back. It was a two season porch.
Right.
We stayed within the footprint of that slab. We put in the foundation and we went up two stories. So they get a family room down below and a second office upstairs. So the theme for us, aside from the fact that I think most people can identify with, boy, I love the house I'm in. I love the neighborhood. I love the school systems. We don't want to move, but we need some changes. The theme for us is sort of modest and restraint, you know, only 350 square feet. Keeping most of the original house intact except for sort of a gut job on the kitchen.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Well, you said Dutch colonial, right?
I did, yes.
So here's a total geek question for you. I hope everybody carries along, but the roof line on a Dutch colonial tends to be a gambrel roof, right?
Tends to be or is almost exclusively a gambrel roof line, yes.
So are you tying into that, or is there a different roof detail that the architects designed?
We are replicating that roof detail. We are coming into the gable side of the existing We're coming in directly into the gambrel. At 90 degrees with a new gambrel roof to tie in. And so we're replicating the two-pitch roof that you have there.
Yeah.
And we're actually mirroring a second gambrel that sort of punches into the main section of the house. So it's going to be a very good replication of what's there, although it's going to stand proud of that second gambrel roof line by about 4 or 5 feet. And there was a lot of back and forth because, as you know, obviously, from your experience in your construction, they're kind of tricky roof lines to get into. And they're very distinctive. So do you stay with that very distinctive roof line, or do you deviate from it? And in this case, the decision, unanimous decision, was stay with it and work off of all sort of the angles and scaling of the original house.
Well, that sounds great, because tying into a unique roof line is a tough one from a design standpoint, mm-hmm. for sure. And complicated from a carpentry standpoint, no question.
Mm-hmm.
So that raises another question for me, which is knowing the talent level of the carpenters around there, and it's almost, I don't want to necessarily pigeonhole Tommy Silva and Norm Abrams as simply carpenters. They bring so much to it. But are you guys also working with architects and designers and engineers and all that, or is this a back of an envelope kind of thing?
No, it's been a while since we've done back of the envelope on house. We're definitely working with an architect. In fact, the homeowners were already partnering with the architect when we found them. We came across the homeowners through the architect. And in this case, he's very familiar with the house style. He lived in a Dutch colonial himself. He's worked on tons of these roof lines, and so he was certainly the right guy for the job. And in terms of engineers, the engineering that's being done is strictly just for the plans, making sure that the building department stamps off and signs off on things. Tommy Silva can handle, you know, whatever plans an architect throws him, so there's no need for on-site engineering work.
So that leads to a question I have that has nothing to do with tying into an existing roof.
This is going to be awesome.
Can you wait, Mark? So when you're walking around, just your normal life like you are today, do people approach you and ask you to be on the show?
You're suggesting you're talking about my normal life versus my abnormal life.
Your abnormal life. We're actually like, yeah. Okay, or you're talking to Mark or someone that's abnormal like him. So when you're just, you know, walking around, grocery shopping or whatever you're doing.
Or picking up food from the co-op.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, are people actually pounding on the window right now?
Yeah, are they just, you know, just pounding on the window saying, can I be on the show? Can you come and, you know.
There's a strange guy on my window who wants me to sign his gourd.
That would be my husband, Mark.
Teresa, to answer your question, I mean, a lot of folks approach all of us as we walk down the street. You know, mm-hmm. the exposure that we get on PBS is good, obviously, for business, and so a lot of people watch it. I will say that, generally speaking, most people are sort of very respectful, very tasteful, or just kind of give you a sort of a high sign, mm-hmm. or they... If they make a comment, they're like, hey, we love the show, or thanks for putting it on. If they do end up asking a question, you're right. I mean, that's probably one of the most frequent questions we get asked is, how do I get on the show? What do I need to do? How do I get on the show? And the good news is that it's actually pretty easy. You just have to write us a letter, because most of the houses that we end up choosing are houses that we hear about through the mailbag.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple, sort of. Who watch the show, who are house enthusiasts and have a project that they need done, will send us a package. The bad news is we get tens and hundreds of thousands of letters like that every year. So
wow.
That's
it's an
easy awesome.
Contest.
Wow.
The odds are very low of actually getting on the show.
I folded the corner of the envelope that I sent it. I sent it.
And it sent it, too.
Yeah,
right?
I sent it to you, Kevin. Yeah, that's cool. So you can just pick that.
If you want to geek out on Gambrel Roofs, though, Mark, you'll see in this series, we actually go back and take a time machine and start exploring with a very renowned architect the history of the Dutch colonial, which I guess technically people would call the Dutch colonial revival. And we go back to some of the very earliest American houses out on Long Island that were of this style. And as it turns out, it is really... What we are used to, that Gambrel roofline of the Dutch colonial, is not a Dutch house. The Dutch didn't really have that broken, two-pitched roof. And so we take this wonderful tour with a very smart architect who shows us some original Dutch houses and how they are different, and then sort of why and how they became Dutch colonials as we know them today. So there's lots more geeking out to do if you want by just tuning into the series.
Wow. You know what? I'm a total nonfiction guy. You know, I read all kinds of different books and things, and I would completely be transfixed by that.
Yeah, we would both. That's one of the things that we can actually agree on television is that kind of show.
That is true. I want to watch Underworld Evolution.
I so don't want to.
And she wants to watch Project Runway.
Oh, I love
Project In the middle
Runway.
Is this old house and ask this old house.
Exactly,
somehow.
Yeah.
But here's a question, because we've read your bio a couple times here on the air, and you have an MBA from Boston University, which obviously anyone can get. And you were also senior vice president at the Bank of America, working in the commercial real estate group, which some people call Realty.
Uh-huh.
How do you go from there to what many would argue is the best home improvement job there is?
Lots of dumb luck. the short answer. The story for me is my wife and I, we bought a house 7 years ago north of Boston, up on the North Shore, as we call it. And we were fixing it up. It was a two-family, and it was sort of all run down, hadn't really been touched in probably 3 or 4 decades, which is exactly what we were looking for, doing all the work ourselves. And as we sort of came across hurdles and stumbles, we did what a lot of people do, and that's actually write a letter or send an email to ask this old house. If this old house is looking for some information. And that's what we did. We sent in the email trying to get some info, and shockingly to us, they actually read it. You know, amongst those tens of hundreds of thousands of letters and emails, they picked ours and read it. But then, more remarkably, they came out to the house. They filmed a segment of Ask This Old House with my wife and I, working with Tom Silva and with Jim Clark, our painting expert. And completely out of the blue, they asked the guy in the dark suit and tie who was going to the bank every day, Swinging a Hammer on the weekends, they asked me to be the host of both shows.
And wow. It's
simple and as crazy as that.
That is awesome.
That is really awesome.
Yeah, and not just saying it, you carry it off well. You've got gravitas and cachet and other words that I've just written down here that I don't know how to pronounce. and it's fabulous. And so here's a more mundane question I guess I can ask, which is I'm guessing after, what, 7 or 8 years, you're done that first house.
Sort of.
So Kevin O'Connor actually still has a My Fix It Up life as well.
You and I, that's a loaded question because you and I have compared our punch lists before, and mine's not as bad as yours, but I do have a punch list. We are still there. I would say we're 95% complete.
Oh.
And the punch list is short, and it's exactly the same punch list that I had a full year ago. Nothing has changed. The only thing that has changed is that instead of two additional people waiting for me to finish the punch list, I now have four people waiting for me to finish the punch
list. Yeah.
Probably not a distraction or anything like that.
No, having, you know, new babies has nothing to do with it, I'm sure. Not at all.
No, or a pregnant wife the year before the babies arrived.
No,
because we didn't have any slowdowns in that department either.
No, we didn't at all.
Man, Kevin, we could keep talking with you, but we can't keep talking with you because you're going to be on a sports talk radio show in the next 6 minutes.
So we're going to have to say goodbye to you, and thank you so much for calling and sharing all that with us.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's been my pleasure. It was a real treat.
Us too. Hopefully we'll talk again soon. And in the meantime, best of luck with what's coming up next.
And we'll be back with My Fix It Up Life in a minute. The Carpenter's Notebook, a novel about building a better life.
I reach for my tape measure more like a gunslinger going for a six-shooter than a timid, albeit middle-aged, apprentice afraid to do the wrong thing.
2 years after his father's death, Brendan leaves his daughters and collapsing marriage to fulfill a promise he made to his mother, and he discovers the answers he wasn't looking for that end up helping his own life. Inside a heartwarming love story with raw, hammer-swinging detail, author Mark Clement shares the story of a man who discovers his father's job site life lessons. Dean Johnson, co-host of Hometime, says, "Home improvement is a thread that runs through many of our lives. Mark has woven it into a rich and unique story." Brett Witter, publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul, says a wonderful book about building both houses and relationships that is wise, touching, and as satisfying as a hard day's work well done. Like Chicken Soup for the Soul, it shows us that the greatest wisdom is built from the material of everyday life. Check out The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clement on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and at bookstores nationwide.